You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 30 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz. Jerome Powell chatted at Jackson Hole. What did he say? Anything kick the can down the road, I suspect. Benoang Mokgaly, his trust converted a purple group loan, 25 million rand loan, into almost 11.5% of the shares in purple. That turns 25 million into 190 million. And then Andrew Waller, CEO Grinrod, on their results, commodity and agri-boom helping them tons. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines for MoneyWeb. Online retailers are missing out on some 30 billion rand. Local retailers, this is about 76% of online shoppers abandon purchases due to technical glitches and problems with payments. CNBC, oil firm slash US Gulf of Mexico output by 91% ahead of Hurricane Ida that made landfall yesterday. Remember, Sasol's Lake Charles is right there, and that 91% slash, it's about 2% of daily demand. Morning markets, London is closed today for a bank holiday. Friday saw US markets green, S&P up 0.9, NASDAQ up 1%. Asia is green, Sydney up 0.1, Tokyo up 0.3. Commodities green over the weekend, gold 1,818, Rand 1,472. That was 1,550 just 10 days ago. Top 40, looking for a green open, about 100 points up. That's 0.15%, and that as 10 cent trades down 1.3%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Tony and I with Nick Kuntz, portfolio manager, Sunlam Private Wealth. Nick, morning. Appreciate the time. I mentioned in the intro there, all the last week waiting for Jerome Powell to speak at Jackson Hole. Am I right to say he kind of kicked that can down? He said tapering will come, but it'll be later this year. Interest rates are far, far away. And that is, in bankers speak, accommodative. In trader speak, that is risk on.
Yeah, morning, Simon. Entirely right. I think Jackson Hole, well, certainly I was, and I think a lot of my colleagues were waiting for a little bit of guidance. You know, that would have, I think, you know, set the tone for the next few months as we grind into the end of 2021. And it's not without saying, though, Simon, that he did kind of prep. A few of his talking heads were out a week or two before talking about a possibility of tapering. Yes, there's going to be tapering. Maybe it's sooner. It's not 2020. Maybe it's this year. Who knows? But, once again, Mr. Powell, uber dovish. And, I thought he was more dovish than normal. And, of course, you saw what it did. Dollar got smacked. Commodities rallied. Risk on, as you said in your intro. S&P all-time high. I mean, I think that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it's kind of dollar weakness is bullish for everything. Commodities go higher, the ZAR's higher, the euro's higher. It kind of pushes everything to the upside.
It does. And the dollar was actually a little bit stronger, sort of the weeks leading into it. And we had, I think, one of the best, the Dixie had 1.5% move a week or two ago, its biggest move in a long time. But huge reversals, dollar weakness, and as I said, it does affect it. And it's positive. I mean, it's good for emerging markets too. But, you know, also for Mr. Powell and the American economy, I mean, they actually don't want to see a strong dollar. So, you know, you kind of read between the lines. I think there's a lot of politics going on with what's happening with interest rates because, you know, on the face of it, the U.S. economy growing at, I don't know, anywhere north of 6%. Interest rates at emergency levels of near zero. It's difficult to equate one against the other. So I think there's a lot of politics in the background as well.
Yeah, as you say, those two stats, it frankly boggles my head. Quick Hurricane Ida making landfall in Louisiana. It's of the size of what was it, about 15 years ago when they had that giant one that came through. Going to be losing some oil, but also Lake Charles is in the way. I imagine Sasol's kind of prepared for it, but it's going to knock them a bit.
It is going to knock them. They tend to be positioned, as you said, on the sort of the Gulf of Mexico. They always seem to be in the line of these things. I kind of feel sorry for them. It's like, you know, how many hits can this company have? But it is going to be in the line of it. They're going to have to turn off production. It is a temporary thing. These things do pass. If I look at the oil price this morning too, it is flat. I thought it would be up a little bit more for the back of it, but I think that kind of says what it is.
Yep, I also put a little bit back up. Last quick one, Massmart results out Friday. Not much to say there. They're still loss-making. They still got plans. We need to wait and see.
Yeah, look, they did guide recently with absolutely horrific numbers, and I'm looking forward to seeing what digging sort of under the hood with what's coming out of that game division of theirs too, because I just don't think it's an ongoing concern at the moment. Yeah. They're probably going to have to lay that off as well. I'm also looking interesting to see what else they spin off. I mean, I saw where ShopRite was picking over the carcass of the last set, juicy bits that they want to take on. I think there's more to come up. I wouldn't be surprised, Simon, if we chat in a few months, Simon. Massmart is a very different company to what it is right now.
Yep, and that was a great acquisition by ShopRite. Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sunlam Private Wealth. A question on our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Chatting with Nick about the Jackson Hole speech from Jerome Powell, who said large amounts of nothing, risk back on. Is it a risk back on? Yes, back to the races, maybe for now, or perhaps those risks remain real. You can have your say, you can have your vote, Twitter and LinkedIn.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com. or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Benong Mokgaly. I need to disclaim up front, I hold Purple Group shares. That's an important component. Benong, morning. Appreciate your early morning time. A sense announcement out from Purple Group on Friday. You'd advanced them a loan back, 2018, September 2018. 25 million rand loan converted into shares of Purple. A great deal. Those shares are worth almost 190 million. I want to go back to 2018 when you advanced that loan. You weren't yet on the board. As I understood, you joined the board only in 2019. How had you heard around Easy Equities Purple Group? What was your sense? Because I've got to be honest, I looked at it then and I wasn't as convinced as obviously you were.
Yeah, no, I was absolutely convinced, Simon. You're absolutely correct. So first of all, we always back the jockey.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Mike Barnes for many years. Mm-hmm. He's been a good friend of mine. He started Purple Group. We watched him because as a family, when I say family, I talk about myself, my lovely wife, Susan, my two daughters, Sepiso mm-hmm. and Manel. We started our own family investment in 2002, all of it with after-tax money. By that time, we had already invested in 9 companies. We owned 3 of them 100%, not having started that way, by the way, small stakes, and then we increased over a period of time when only offered. So when Mark Barnes, in his inimitable self, then wrote an article that said, this is how you can save the South African Post Office. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, the National Treasury said, look, then go and fix it. Mm-hmm. When he went, I knew that he will not give as much attention to his own creation, Purple Capital. So at that time, that's when we looked at the family and say, let's create a new entity called Sirialong Financial Investments. Mm-hmm. He's looking for money. He's already got a loan from Old Mutual and Sanlam. So we had coffee with him and said, how much do you think you'll need? So he needed slightly more. We said, let's start you off with 25 million rand. We signed a deal at that time that says, although it's a loan, at any point in time, we have the right to convert this into shares. At that time, the strike rate was just less than 23 cents. And then we advanced the 25 million rand. He invited me to sit on the board. We appointed a new chairman, Mr. Hepin Jingela.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at the management and said, we must really go there and help and just be helpful. At that time, they had about four subsidiaries, and the absolute superstar was Easy Equities.
Yeah.
I just come back from leading Business Leadership South Africa after about 8.5 years as the group CEO and chairman of the Shell Oil Products Africa, where I was looking after 33 of the then 53, now 55 African countries. So I said, I can go and try and help this management team and not stand in the way. They duly invited me to the board. And I must say, it's been a truly incredible ride. And I thought I could leverage on the close, personal, intimate relationship that I have with CEOs of 86 companies at that time, all of them listed on the Johannesburg Securities Exchange, Simon.
And it's been, I mean, Easy Equities has been an incredible story. I mean, the pandemic undoubtedly helped, but it's been a really, really big story. You and your family now hold, 11.46%, call it 11.5%. We've got another new shareholder there as well, as Mark Barnes exited some of his stake in the business, selling it down a bit. I mean, it's sort of the next leg of the journey for Easy and for Purple as we come through this pandemic and they entrench themselves in this market.
Simon, you're absolutely correct. So Mark wouldn't have sold. But remember, when you're sitting on people's loans for such a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
at some stage when you are approached by somebody who says, I like what I'm seeing, I think this thing has legs, it has a potential to be another unicorn, these billion US dollar net asset value entities, here's a pot of money. Mark then looked at it, we chatted a little bit about it, and he said, it gives me an opportunity to bring down a part of the loan. So today, in fact, at that time, the share was trading from our rights convertible loan of just under 23 cents. It was 1 rand and 38 cents.
Yeah.
So he probably netted about 200 million rand at that time and then was able to bring down the loan. You know, if you don't owe a lot of people a lot of money, it allows you to think, to reflect. Because remember, creativity is thinking new things. Innovation is doing new things. And I agree with you, Simon. The pandemic simply accelerated the business case because there are four business units there.
Mm-hmm.
The most popular is Easy Equity. And the business model is simple. You say, if you want to buy an Anglo share, I'll take a number. Say it's trading at 1,000 rand.
Yeah.
But you don't have 1,000 rand.
Yeah, yeah.
I can take your 20 rand together with 100 other people and then buy you a small component of an Anglo share. You look at it in your app. Every hour you can see how it is doing. So for me, it was very clear that if you got big players, like if you signed MTN, then all of a sudden you've got access to almost, there are 30 million South African customers. If you went to Capitec, at that time they had 10, they are now exceeding 13 million customers. Now, all of a sudden, this thing could really be quite interesting. And by the way, I think our stake, which is 14.5%,
mm-hmm.
I genuinely believe that it has got lots of legs because you can see the guys are not only thinking, they're innovating. By that time, it was only a South African company. Now it is in the old SACU region, Botswana, mm-hmm. Lesotho, Namibia, and Eswatini. Now we're taking this thing globally. So we're looking beyond the 60 million South Africans. We're looking at bigger markets. And I must tell you that in the pipeline of these executives, we just had a board meeting last week, and the plans that we saw on the table and how we are prepared to give our own sweat equity to make sure that this thing flies, so that if we get it right, maybe, just maybe, we don't ever have to work again. And by the way, that's why you invest, Simon, because you don't bet the farm on one investment. Like I said, we are now invested in nine. But the three that we now own 100% is a company that started as a marketing research company called Consulta.
Yeah.
We owned a 16% stake, then 20%. Then the University of Pretoria sold us their 40% stake. We moved it up to 60. Now we own it 100%. It's run by a phenomenal, good quality human being. His name is Babu Pilani Innocent Dlamini. The second one that we own 100%, it's in the medical devices. It's called Talk Medical Supplies. Again, there are a number of subsidiaries there. There's Quattro, which is technology. There's MyINR. And there's Isifuba that sells cardiothoracic medical equipment, mostly to public hospitals. The last one, it's really absolutely exciting. It's called DigiLitho. It's a simple printing company. But if you dig deep, half of its revenue we get from hiring out forklifts to CTM, to Ital Tile, and to Topstore. As we speak, we are buying six more of these, I call them cars, at $500,000 each. Each one of them with a lithium battery is going to cost us R5 million. But we already have 84 forklifts, Simon. So you can see that there's value, there's utility. Apart from printing, one day when we don't have money, you've got 84, we'll have 90 by the end of this year. You sell half of them. These things are now tradable. The managing director, again, is an incredible, good quality warrior of a woman. Her name is Esme Chiwota. The husband, Isaac, runs the forklift division. She's got a staff of about 15 people. Whilst in consultant, we're talking in the call center alone, about 80 people. Talk Medical Supplies, there's 35 employees. All of a sudden, you can look government in the eye and say, you know what, in our small little way, we are trying our bit to create some employment so that we do three things. One, we become a trusted advisor. Number two, we are a partner of choice. But we'll do everything in our power to make sure that this ANC-led government becomes a capable state somewhere.
Yeah, and that's the creating employment. But I love your point, back the jockey. And I noticed you say there, a unicorn, a dollar unicorn, that puts Purple another 10x higher. It's not going to happen in a week, but it can happen in some time. Benang Mahali, appreciate the early morning time, sir.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Grindrod CEO Andrew Waller, they had results out 6 months ending June. It saw revenue up 5%, EBITDA up 33%, and headline earnings 1,376%. I have to make sure I've got all my numbers right there. Andrew, appreciate the time today. Looking at the results, I mean, a really strong bounce back. I mean, obviously, part of that is the hard lockdown we saw in Q2 of last year. But ports, terminals, I mean, they're really booming, benefiting from that commodity demand, both mining and agriculture to a degree.
Absolutely right, Simon. That's spot on. Very fortunate to have that exposure that we do have in mining commodities and in on the fruit side, on the agri side, as you say. And yes, big demand globally for minerals on the back of infrastructure spend all over the world, and I guess led by a lot of government infrastructure spend. So iron ore and coal needed in China to make the steel, chrome, ferrochrome needed in China for the same purposes. And then a lot of battery minerals also. We're seeing a lot of demand for that out of our southern African region, right? As you know, we've got the most manganese in the world, so good for us. Yeah, we have such a good agricultural period. The rains were good for us, and that's helped us a lot in South Africa this period.
Yeah, it has been. I mean, it's a perfect storm in a sense, and when it is, you make hay. Dry bulk kind of out of Richards Bay, is that coal that's exiting out of Richards Bay?
In our little terminal, we do coal out of Richards Bay, and then we do magnetite and coal out of Maputo, chrome and ferrochrome as well out of Maputo.
And you've still got, I mean, judging, I was having a look through your presentation. I mean, in terms of the capacities going through your terminals, I mean, you've still got capacity. I mean, you know, who knows how long this boom will last when new capacity comes, you know, stream on the mining side. But you've got that capacity. You can get production even higher if there is that demand.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. We need to keep growing into that. We keep adding. Mm-hmm. And we keep then growing into it, which is obviously an adjacent business to what we're currently doing, and it and makes sense for us to bring down the average cost throughout. So that's, you're quite right.
Containers have been a challenge for the better part of this year and late last. Is that starting to abate, or are you still seeing fairly good rates on containers?
Yeah, sadly, because of course it's a cost to us as South Africans or Southern Africa. And in fact, it's a global cost. Sadly, container rates are still astronomical, mm-hmm. and slots on container ships are still a problem. So until we've bedded this thing down and we understand which direction all of these trades are going to go, I think we're still going to have a bit of a hiatus. We work closely with Maersk, as you know, mm-hmm. and we know they are absolutely jam-packed on their ships. They just can't get enough space. And the same with the demand for containers. And of course, that was a bit of a challenge that we had with the fruit, the export citrus out of South Africa. Mm-hmm. Could we get enough reefers into the country in time to package? And of course, you had COVID and you had a few other lockdowns. That didn't help. But yeah, I don't expect that those container rates are going to normalize in the short term, but it will eventually get there.
You obviously were in northern Mozambique, your liquefied natural gas project. You ceased that at the beginning of April. Any sense of that situation is improving, or is it still pretty much as it was when you exited, what, four or five months ago?
Indeed. So, and we took a bit of a hit there, as you see, because we had 13 ships being deployed in the area, and we've now managed to redeliver 11 of those. Simon, there's no doubt that this is a major find, and there's no doubt that at some point in time, we'll all be back there. The question is how long it takes for them to normalize the security situation there. An enormous step taken by Mozambique to allow the Rwandan forces into their country, you know, to assist them. That's a major step for any country to take. So that's all positive for us. There obviously is a lot of social dynamics at play there to ensure that the local community sees the benefit of it, and that will also help going a long way. So we remain ready should Total say the time is right and we see that we are now secure. And then, and when that happens, we look forward to getting back involved.
Okay. And until then, as you say, it's a wait and see to see how it plays out. Your bank, which most of my listeners will know the bank from, obviously their stake in Core Shares, the ETF issuer.
Yes, indeed.
It's small in your life, but it's performing very well.
It's a wonderful little bank, as you say, a little niche bank. And it's small enough that we can manage it very, when I say we, the bank board, mm-hmm. can manage it very carefully. So, I mean, for us, the returns are small, but then our exposure there is small. You know, we've got 1.5 billion locked up in the bank. Mm-hmm. And yes, the return is not as good as we could be, but rather have the liquidity right now, you know. That excess liquidity in a time when the market's uncertain is dead right for us. And we work really hard with the SARB, with the Reserve Bank, on how we manage that bank, and very comfortable with what they're up to at the moment. So, yes, great bank.
A last question. You've got some non-core assets which are still held for sale. Mm. I mean, going through that, I mean, there's certainly some cash to be freed up there. My sense is no real rush. You're going to do this at the right time, at the right place. You're not going to be sort of rushed into fire sales.
So when you announce that you have non-core, immediately you're on the back foot. Right?
Yeah.
So unfortunately, we did see a bit of that in the last period, and a number of people trying to take advantage of COVID discounts, etc. And indeed, we did let go, as you saw by the debits, mm-hmm. we did let go assets at below NAV. And we're comfortable with that because at the end of the day, we're making sure that we release cash, as you say, and deploy it where we need it, either in the freight services or in the bank. So we're not rushed, as you say. There are a couple of other assets that don't fit well with us, and the other shareholders know that. So they're also looking for appropriate partners in their businesses, and that's really what we need to do. Make sure we hand over these businesses to the right shareholders to take them forward.
We'll leave it there. Grindrod CEO Andrew Waller talking results, 6 months ending June. Andrew, appreciate the time. our Friday poll on LinkedIn and Twitter. We were asking you about York Timber. Do we finally see some value unlock? 40% of you said yes, and truthfully, that's already to a degree happened. Almost half were not so convinced, and the other remaining bid had simply given up, and I got to say, I was in the given up space. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Kudora, Nicole and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.